You'd think that as a video game podcaster and comedian, my life is all fun and games. And honestly, you'd be right. About 90% of the time, it's pretty sweet. But every morning, I deal with something very, very serious. My face. You don't become an Edmonton Six overnight. It takes work. And in my case, it takes good facial hair. And fortunately, I have a great facial hair tag team partner in Harry's. Hit up harrys.com/RTG for a $3 trial set and see what I'm talking about. Harry saw the tire fire that the shaving market had become and asked, how did it get like this? Crappy plastic razors, overpriced blades, all locked up like gold bars. And they said, no, we can fix this. And damn it, they did. Harry's ships premium quality razors right to your door. About once a month, I check my mail and there's that little box with everything I need to keep my kid presentable status. The blades stay sharp longer, which means an easier time getting my face in order in the morning. And the razors don't look like a dumb piece of plastic that a junior high schooler uses to take care of their peach fuzz. You have the facial hair of a man now. Shave like one. I actually leave my razor handle on the bathroom counter all the time just because it looks so damn classy. Harry's blades are German engineered and they're made to last. They're the best blades on the market for the best price, and you don't even have to go out to get them. Set your delivery schedule and shave like a king. I know it sounds sarcastic, but I'm being serious. I've used Harry's forever. These blades are really freaking good. Highest reviews in the industry, a money back guarantee that you're not going to need, and a subscription that you can cancel anytime you want. Getting ripped off isn't funny. Switch to Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/RTG. That's harrys.com/RTG for a $3 trial set. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Remember the Game. It is my retro gaming podcast where every week a buddy of mine and I sit down and we geek out about the games we played back in the day. My name is Adam Blank. Thank you all so much for listening to the show. This week it is episode 92. I've lost all track of time in this weird quarantine vortex. It is episode 92 and we are talking Phantasy Star IV. For the Sega Genesis, or Master System, or Mega Drive, or whatever the fuck the Sega version. You guys are weird fucking Segas. You guys know how I am. Anyway, this is one of those games I played for the first time. Just recently, to get ready for the show. It's good. Is it great? It's good. I've got some mixed opinions about it. As someone that didn't grow up playing it, because as you all know, if you have listened to the show with any regularity, I was a Super Nintendo kid. I didn't get a hold of it till recently. I don't have the nostalgic ties to it, which I think affect my opinions of it. But we'll get into all that. We'll get into all that when we get to the show. My buddy Chris is here this week. He's a Sega Genesis kid. He'll defend your precious little Phantasy Star IV. I know it's four. I'm joking. We'll get into that in just a few minutes. You guys know I got to ramble for a little bit first. Might be a little bit shorter rambling than most weeks because I don't have anything to talk about. I had to scour the web to find some fucking news to talk about when it comes to video games because the whole world is shut down, as you all know. We'll get into, well, let's go. Let's get into that. First of all, quick reminder, Patreon is now gone. It is shut down. I had to close down. All I did was pause it. So it will be back. But I've had to shut it down for now. We just did the prize draw last week for our April giveaway. Congratulations to Andre, who won a $50 Nintendo eShop gift card. Couldn't pick a better time to win a $50 video game shopping spree than right now. Also, I'm still working on giving shout-outs for everyone that signed up in April, so I'm going to give another bunch of those right now because I've split them up over the month so I don't have to bomb through everybody at once. So massive thank you to the following people for supporting the show. Dave McGee, the cooler of the two Dave names. Doug Dorn. I fucking just... Dude, you have such a sweet... Doug Dorn is like... It sounds like a sitcom character. I fucking love it. Dustin L., who could have a hilarious last name, but I have no idea what it is. Evan Refuse. That's a badass last name. Fake McHugh, nothing else needs to be said. Gary Cushton, that's a very comforting last name. James Clark, which is one of the most... James has been with us for a long time. That is one of the most generic names. I couldn't think of a funny thing to say about you, James. I'm very sorry. Jason Adams, who's got a great last name with an S stuck to the end of it. Jeffrey Mathis, brother of Michael Mathis, who just started, who just upped his Patreon. So thanks very much, Jeffrey. Longtime supporter Joe Buck. New time supporter Joe... Not new, I guess. Joe Gillespie. I don't know if it's new, but whatever. Newer than Joe, but... cooler name. Well, okay, I'm sorry if I'm... okay, listen, before you get mad about me shitting on your last names, my last name is blank, so I can make fun of any fucking last name I want. Unless your last name is Taint or something, it's better than mine. So, Joe Gillespie, thank you very much. John Taylor, that's very golf. You have to golf with a name like John Taylor. And finally, Josh Morgan, who... my brother's first name is Josh, and I don't care for him, so... sorry, your last name, you're now officially just Morgan. Thanks, guys. Thank you all you guys for supporting the show. More shout outs next week. If you'd like to support the show on Patreon, you can't. So please do it when we can bring it back. Okay. Also, this Sunday, I'll be releasing the next bonus episode because the Patreon's paid for all of April's. It'll be expansion past episode three, which is our Q&A rambling one. So if you have any questions you want answered, any topics you want me to touch on or anything, shoot them to me on social media, on Twitter or Instagram, at memberthegame or facebook.com/rememberthegame, and I will post about them tomorrow, if not today, to remind you guys to send them to me. If you got anything, I try to get to all of them. So don't send it if you're thinking like, well, he won't get to it anyway. I fucking probably will because I have nothing else to do. So I try to get to all of them. Plus, frankly, if you guys send me questions, there's less actual work that I have to do. So it's win-win. Episode 2 of Expansion Pass went live on Saturday where I talked about some suggestions I would pick up from the Xbox, PlayStation, and Nintendo sales that are going on right now. Because, like, dude, I'm telling you guys, I spent hours on Saturday working on that episode because I went to Xbox, PlayStation, and Nintendo's websites. By the way, Nintendo, your fucking website is just the shits. And not the good, the shit, but the terrible. It's funny how when it's singular, it's a good thing. When it's like, yo, that guy is the shit. But when it's plural, now you're bad. So you can, like, it's like, oh, that thing is the shits. So you can be one shit, but don't be multiple shits because then it's bad. Nintendo's website is the shits. Xbox's is pretty shitty too. PlayStation has got the predominant website. I like their website. But anyway, I went through all three stores looking for sale recommendations. And dude, there's a lot of games on sale right now between the three companies. Like a lot of sales. And then, I don't know, Steam probably has some sales, but who cares? PC nerds. It's crazy. It's crazy. It's smart. I guess it makes sense. People are sitting at home right now with nothing to do. Sell them games. It's just, I guess it's probably a fine line between... hey, you're all locked down, buy some video games to play, we'll put them on sale, and then without trying to come across like you're taking advantage of a terrible situation, maybe that's part of their hesitation in marketing it like that. But anyway, there's lots on there, so I'm telling you guys, if you're bored right now, doesn't matter which of those three systems you have, just spend half an hour scrolling through the stores and looking for sales, because you'll find something, I promise. There's so much. Like, I didn't pick much up, I want to, I just don't really have the cash right now, but boy, I would like to. I did pick up Star Wars KOTOR, Knights of the Old Republic, as I've talked about before. It won our Patreon poll this month, so I will be playing it in the near future once I finish another RPG that I'm playing on my PS4 right now that I'll talk about in a couple of minutes. But I haven't really picked much else up. I've wanted to. Or you know what? So I just said you should flip to those stores and look at the sales, or sign up for Game Pass or PS Now. If you have a PlayStation 4 or an Xbox One, and you're not subscribed to one of those services, this is as good a time as any. Because if you're on the PlayStation, you can get a week of PS Now for free, I believe. And if you're on Xbox, you can get 3 months of Game Pass for $1. And which is the single best value, maybe in gaming history, is 3 months of Game Pass for $1. Admittedly, I haven't spent any time with PlayStation Now. My understanding is that you don't download a lot of the games, you stream them, so you gotta have good internet, which is why a week free sample makes complete sense. You can go in there and try it. Tons of old games. There's like 600 or 700 games in there now. But I have spent a ton of time, as you guys know, with Game Pass. I have sucked that model's dick fucking since I started using it. Game Pass is the shit. So if you're sitting there bored and you've got an Xbox or a PC, check out Game Pass, you know, or just go on the sales and buy something. I'm curious to know how many, like, because I know there's digital gamers, there's physical gamers, and there's people that do a mix of the both. As you guys, I've been quite vocal about it. I'm predominantly a digital gamer now. I'd be curious to know how many people that are physical gamers have started switching to digital during this sale because they don't want to go out. Because I'm telling you, like, even if I wasn't a digital gamer, I don't think I'd want to go to fucking Walmart right now just to go buy a video game. I'll stay home and just download something. If you've got the option, I know some people don't have good enough internet where they live or whatever to do digital. But if you are a physical gamer, has this lockdown shifted you into going digital at least for a little while? Because I'm telling you, it's the shit. You just download your game. You could go for a walk or go to the bathroom or get something to eat or whatever. And then when you come back, your game is downloaded and ready to go. And it's just, oh, I fucking digital gaming. Oh, it's the best. Oh yeah. Also, here's a little bit of, speaking of digital gaming and a little bit of news. I don't have very much news to talk about. I'm going to stretch this. From April 15th to May 5th, Sony is offering the Uncharted Collection and Journey for free. To everyone, free. Just like I mentioned that Ubisoft was doing before. They're not obligated to do it. None of these companies are obligated to give out free games, but I think it's good PR. I think it makes you look good. I think it really is a great way to help make people stay home. I see no... And I mean, obviously, not like Sony's not going to be giving away fucking... You know, Final Fantasy VII, and Nintendo's not going to be offering up Mario Odyssey for free or anything like that. But you have these old games that are just sitting there. Yeah, fuck yeah, throw them on. Why not, right? And like, and I'm telling you guys, I never played Journey, but I've heard good things. I know it won Game of the Year a few years ago, but I have played Uncharted Collection, and the Uncharted games are the fucking shit. Not the plural shits like Nintendo's website. They are the shit, like the good one. Definitely play the Uncharted Collection. So if you're sitting there with a PS4 and you have nothing to do, they are free beginning tomorrow. I guess today, by the time you guys hear this, Uncharted 1, 2, 3. And then Uncharted 4 is available on PS Plus right now for free. The Uncharted games are fucking awesome. I really like them. So that's really cool. I hope more companies do that. I don't even plan to play either of those games, but it's just the concept that they're doing it is really neat. Also, I saw on the news that they're talking about remaking Resident Evil 4 now. As you all know, they remade Resident Evil 1, kind of, like, they made that remake for, like, the GameCube and stuff, and then Resident Evil 2 got the remake that was universally acclaimed, considered, like, one of the best remakes ever made, and then Resident Evil 3 came out, like, a week ago, and I've seen some mixed reviews on it. People seem to say it's good, but wait for a sale, which is cool, but now they're talking remaking Resident Evil 4, and, like, Resident Evil 4 is unquestionably one of my favorite video games of all time. That was one of those games I played it on my GameCube, and I had never played a Resident Evil game prior to playing number 4, and I was just floored with how good it is. That game is, I've played it on GameCube, PS2, my Wii. I just bought it and replayed it on my Switch. Like, I've played that game so many times, and it never gets old. I don't even know, I don't think it needs a remake. Frankly, I think it still looks really good today. So, I mean, I guess if Capcom wants to spend resources on remaking it, that's fine. Rumors are also circulating that Resident Evil 8 is coming out soon. I personally would just like some more Mega Man. I'd be like, yo, how about instead of remaking Resident Evil 4, you make Mega Man 12? But that's just me. That's just, I get it. You know, they're hot right now. Resident Evil 4, like, I guess, I don't know. Like, can you improve on practical perfection? Probably. I just don't know how, because, oh, God, I love Resident Evil 4. And that's it. That's like the news. Yeah, like there's not a lot going on right now. It's, I mean, there's lots of news around, you know, delays and the virus and everything like that, but I don't feel like talking about that today. I just don't. I mean, I've been spending a lot less time on social media lately. I don't know if you guys have noticed that. I'm not as repliant on Twitter, Instagram. I'm not on there promoting the podcast quite as much. I'm just done with social media right now. You know, I've dived into life in my house because I know I'm going to be here for the next 6 or 7 weeks at least. And my girlfriend and I are just hanging out, and I'm hanging out with my dog. And I don't want to say the W word right now because she's sitting really here on the floor and she'll get all excited. But I'm taking her for 3 or 4 strolls around our neighborhood a day and just playing vids and just putting my head in the sand and just staying in an isolated little bubble. So that would be my recommendation. Just if this whole thing has got you down and you're stressed out, just log off the internet for a little while, man. Just fucking binge watch a show on Netflix. Just get high on your couch, just smoke a big joint and just lay on the couch and watch a series on Netflix, or go back and marathon an old video game, or play a game with your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your husband, your wife, whatever. You know, just try to ignore it. That's all. Stay positive. That's all we can do. Or play video games. You know, just play video games, because that's all I've been doing. I have been playing so many video games. That when I wrote that as a segue in my notes, it sounded really smooth. And when I just said it there, that was the shits, the plural version, which means it was bad. What have I been playing in the last 7 days? A lot. Still Mario Odyssey. I play about an hour every morning now when I drink my coffee, when I go downstairs. I fucking love that game. It's just an old friend. It's a comfortable blanket. I'm up to about 650 moons right now. I'll 100% it again. That wasn't my initial plan. I just wanted to go through, beat Bowser, and be done. And now I'm like, no, I love this game so much. I'm still playing Slay the Spire a ton. I can't stop. You guys, I'm not even going to rant about it again. It's just the best game ever. Card combat, so good. Try it. I've gotten really into Picross. Picross? Picross? I don't know how to say it. P-I-C-R-O-S-S. It's kind of like Sudoku, but I think chiller and maybe a little easier. And you make puzzles out of blocks. And it's just, I don't know how to explain it. Look it up if you're interested. But like, they're available on all kinds of systems, on your phone, on everything. They're dirt cheap and they're really calming. It's become my go-to now when my girlfriend and I are watching TV at night. I'll just zone out and play Picross for like an hour or two on my iPad or on my Switch while I'm watching. It's really, really great stuff, man. Really fun little puzzle games. And then I've been playing this little known indie title. It's I don't know if any of you know what it's called. It's called Final Fantasy VII Remake on my PS4. I'm going to save my thoughts for it for the episode about it next weekend. But they're overwhelmingly positive. Let's just leave it at that. I don't want it to end. It's been really good. So that's what I've been playing over the last 7 days. Let's talk about something I played about 7 months ago, and that is Phantasy Star IV. I know, Phantasy Star 4 for the Sega, Genesis, Mega Drive, Master System, whatever, Sega system. I don't know what's... What is the non-Genesis one? I always get it mixed up. I think it's the Mega Drive. That was the one in Europe, I think. Anyway, just Sega. Phantasy Star 4 for Sega. As you guys know, I'm a Super Nintendo kid, as I just proved again. But I'm also a converted Sega Knight. That's what we're calling Sega fans now, Sega Knights. I like them now. I like them now. I'm trying to show them some love. I love my Sega Genesis Mini over there on my shelf. I love that thing. I'm on board with the Sonic games now. I've loved Shining Force. I really like Shinobi. So I'm trying more and more Sega franchises that I never played before. And I recently tried Phantasy Star 4 because everyone praises it. Everyone that's played it's like, this is the one you got to play. It's one of the greatest RPGs ever. This is Sega's Final Fantasy VI. You got it. You got it. You got it. Is it like... If it's Sega's Final Fantasy VI in the sense of it's the best RPG on their system, then okay. But I don't know if I think it's not Final Fantasy VI. But anyway, I don't have those nostalgic ties. Maybe that's the point. My pal Chris does. He's a Sega kid. He grew up loving Sega. He played this game. I played this game. And a little while ago, we sat down and we talked about the good, the bad, and the ugly of Phantasy Star IV. I am going to cue some music. And I'm going to let you guys listen in on a chat Chris and I had about Phantasy Star 4, which originally released in North America on December 17th, 1993. Kick back, relax, wash your controllers, and listen to Chris and I geek out about Phantasy Star 4. Here we go. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Podcasting's a weird job because I talk to you nerds all the time. Every day, I tell you all about my life, the good and the bad. The ugly... I kind of keep that offline. And it's not that I don't want to talk about it. I'd love to talk about it. I just need to pick and choose who I talk to. We all have stuff that just lives in our minds, rent-free, 24/7. Talking about them can really help because the longer you keep something bottled up, the more likely it is to blow. You've heard me say it before, and you're going to keep hearing me say it. Therapy is the way. Therapists can be that ear to bend when you really need to get something off your chest and don't know who to talk to. And BetterHelp is a great way to go about it. I don't BS you guys. I don't say I've used something if I've never used it. I've personally talked to a BetterHelp therapist about the stuff going on in my personal life, and I genuinely found it helpful. To have someone to talk to that doesn't have any skin in the game, that can just listen and try to help me come up with a roadmap to get through the tough times, it's just invaluable. It has seriously really helped me. I've talked to my therapist through video, and you can do it that way, or you can do it over the phone, or even just over chat. And they give you as many schedule options as possible so you can work a session in around your life. It's licensed therapy, as convenient as it gets. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/rememberthegame today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/rememberthegame. Hey, buddy, it's been a while since we've had you back here on the old cast of pods. This is my pal Chris from episode one.
Oh, man, I'm so excited. You told me about this game. It's classic. It's fun. I cannot wait to talk about Super Tennis.
Yeah. I fucking hate you. I hate that. Oh God, I hate you. I'll just a quick little backstory. Christopher is a fan of Super Tennis, as apparently a lot of people are. Like, it's a popular game.
It's deep, man. It's a good tennis game. Like, I don't, believe it or not, it works.
I fucking hate it. Maybe it's if you played it at some point in the past. I don't know. Because I tried it when I fired up my Super Nintendo Online to see what all the hype was about. I was like, this game can eat my ass.
Well, especially when it's right by Super Soccer, which is a turd sandwich. Tennis is great.
You would fucking sneak that. I was wondering when you sat down and you were all like, your like eyes are like jonesing and you were like, I'm ready. And I was like, I know you're excited to talk Phantasy Star 4, but I was like, what the fuck's wrong with you? The rule when I sit down with anyone to record the show is I tell them, say whatever you want. If you say something you regret, let me know and I'll edit it out. And he's like, okay. And I just don't say anything like racist or anything like that. And Chris is all like, yes, okay. And then fucking first thing he does, I'm editing that out. Fuck, I hate you. That game's never getting an episode. I swear to God. No, we're not talking Super Tennis. Sorry if that hurts any of you. We're talking Phantasy Star 4.
Oh, even better.
Little known RPG for that old Sega black box. Now, I gotta say, Chris, now you were a Sega kid.
Yeah.
All right. So you grew up with this game.
Born and raised, yeah.
Okay. So you are quite fond. It's childhood memories. You've got nostalgia for it. You're excited. I did not grow up with this game. I played it for the first time in 2019, trying to get ready to do an episode of the show. It's good. It's
you need a time machine. You have to play it.
Okay. Now I'll ask you though, like, and I'm not gonna shit on you for it, I promise. Like, I want to know, because I know you're getting two different perspectives. If you've never played Phantasy Star 4, I'm the guy that has never played it either. I played it last year. If you grew up with it, you've got Chris here who's gonna defend your game. Like, because a lot of people say it's like Sega's Final Fantasy.
It was our Final Fantasy 6, man.
Okay, like, do you think, and I'm not going to shit on you for it, do you think it's as good as Final Fantasy VI?
No.
Okay. Do you think it's as good as Final Fantasy IV?
No.
Okay. I don't.
But it's awesome, though. That's the thing. Like,
it's good. I just, like, I don't know. Maybe the bar was, I know this is a very anti-dramatic start to a podcast, you guys. I just, like, I'm trying to figure out where angle to take with this, because, like, the bar was so fucking high, and not because of you, Chris, particularly, but just people have been like, yeah, it's Final Fantasy on Sega, it's Final Fantasy, and I was like, holy fuck, there's like a Final Fantasy 6 that I've never played, and I was like, this isn't Final Fantasy 6, it's good, it's not Final Fantasy 6. Now, are the other three worse?
It's hard to say, because like, with this Final Fantasy 4, like, it was the fourth in the series, but unlike Final Fantasy, like, it's a continuous timeline.
Right.
Like, you have to play 1 and 2, and 3 was actually one that went on a completely different tangent, had nothing really to do with the first two, but...
Okay, yeah, because you're not the only person to tell me that that Phantasy Star 3 is...
It's completely out of left field.
A travesty, yeah okay. Do you think this one's the best? This one's the best of the four?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Like, if you struggled to play 4, I don't think you could go back and play 1 and 2 to get a backstory out of it, because if you thought 4 was a slog grinding and stuff like that, 1 and 2 are... They're soul-crushing to try to, like, get through, especially nowadays.
Okay, well, there's a good start then, okay, because, like, I did find this game very, very grindy. Now, having said that, like, less so 6. I found Final Fantasy, I don't want to compare it to Final Fantasy the whole time, it's a whole different game, but, like, I found Final Fantasy 6 kind of, I found Final Fantasy 4 pretty grindy at points. You go to, like, the fucking cave where you can't use any metal weapons or anything. You've got to be a pretty high level to get through some of those areas. But I never found either one nearly as grindy as Phantasy Star 4. Because, I mean, and maybe it's... I mean, if you want to just say get good, then please, by what I'm done saying, just say, Adam, you just have to get good. I don't find Final Fantasy games anywhere near as hard as I found Phantasy Star 4.
Yeah, like, with Phantasy Star 4, there's spots you get to, you have to level up or you won't move on.
Okay, like, it's not just that I suck. Like, it's a fucking hard game. It's hard. Like, I got stuck right at the beginning. There's a part, like, and oh, fuck. All right. I don't want to just shit all over this game. I'm really trying to figure out how to do this, because I don't want to just crap on it, because I like almost all of it. There's a part right near the beginning where you have to go into, like, but there's going to be spoilers. It's a fucking, when did this game come out? 1995. So you've had 25
That's
years.
That's a Nintendo kid problem.
Yeah. Fuck off. You've had 25 years. Fuck off. There's a part right near the beginning where you have to go into, like, a basement warehouse because you're looking for, like, a cure. Is that what it was or something?
I think the first mission is the professor of the, or the head of the school is a stone guy.
That's what it was. Cure everything. Yeah. And so you have to go into this, like, basement and look for a cure. And, like, I don't know if maybe I just hadn't fought enough before I got into this basement or what, but like literally, dude, within two or three fights, I had to run out and heal again and run out and heal again.
Yeah, like that's kind of the difference with Final Fantasy. Like there's no gimmicks. Like the basement isn't magnetized. You can't use metal. Like it's just you level up or you don't.
Yeah. And like that was the problem I kept running into was like I would go down there and like at that point you've got, oh, I don't know what the fuck's so the main character's name is. Some of these names are fucking weird too. I brought all the names up on a list here. Hang on a second. This is a great podcast. Anyone's listening to this, like, what the fuck? Why are you guys just say something? I'm like, no, I'm trying to be nice to you guys because I know how big a following this game has. Oh yeah, okay. So to start, you like when you go to that basement, you have Chaz.
Yeah.
You've got Han.
Yeah, Han.
Is that how you say it? Han sucks.
Yeah, he's the Edward of.
Oh God, he's worse than fucking. I hate him. Every time he died, I was just like, dude, you are only here to take damage for the other characters. You fucking suck. But Chaz and Elise, I guess is how you say it. They're both badasses. Elise, well, Chaz is kind of a badass. Elise is a fucking badass.
Chaz gets more badass as the game goes on.
He does, yeah, yeah. And then I can't remember if you had a fourth character at this point. I can't remember if you had Rune yet or not. But anyway, I would go into this fucking basement and just within two or three fights, like two of my characters were dead and I didn't have the items to bring them back. And so I'd have to run out and heal and then go back down, grind, maybe gain a level and then run out. And I was like, dude, is the whole fucking game this hard? Plus, I didn't know where I was going. Right, because it's kind of a maze, like it's this basement. This is not a fault of Final Fantasy or Final Fantasy Star 4 at all. It has fucking random encounters, which I'm so over in 2020. Right,
and with Fantasy Star, they don't let you run easy either. Half the time, it doesn't work, and you get stomped one more turn,
buddy.
You're just hoping,
right?
You can get out to resurrect anybody, let alone heal.
It's not like in the other games where you like you hold the two triggers and your guys run the whole time, and you're just like, come on. Yeah, you hit run, and then it doesn't work, and now you've got to sit there and take it up the ass from four bad guys for a whole nother round before you can get away again.
And it's such a middle finger too, because it's like Chaz and Party run away. But Chaz and Party are trapped, and then you get stomped.
Oh, motherfucker. Yeah, that's what it is. It doesn't, it teases
like,
you.
Good. Oh, wait a minute. No.
Fuck me. And you're so reliant on a couple of the strong characters early on that if they die, you're fucked. Like, if all you've got left is that loser Han, I fucking hate Han so much. So I did struggle in that basement. However, once I got through that basement, I was good. I rolled for quite a while. I got, what's the name of that fucking boss I texted you about today? I got stuck there. I can't beat him.
But see, like, there's a callback though, like, because he's actually the final boss of the first game.
Oh, really?
And if you don't, like, unless you know the history or read it up, you don't even know that.
Okay.
And it's
because that's another thing is like I found the story at times hard to find follow. But I felt the same way about the Final Fantasy games, like the translation issues back in the day. It didn't translate super well from Japanese to English.
But you do lose a lot of the story not knowing those first two games. Because, like, they talk about a planet that blew up. That happened in the second game. And,
oh, okay.
Like, the defeat of, like, Mother Brain, that happened in the second game as well. And
that's a bold...
Stuff like that. Like, so, yeah, like, I started with 4 back in the day, and I was kind of like, what? And then you kind of look up online and like,
right.
Oh, okay, read through the...
Oh, okay. And yeah, and I was trying to avoid doing that to avoid spoilers. But, yeah, that makes sense. Dude, it's a bold strategy, especially back in those days before the internet. When you couldn't just go online and look up what had happened in the other games to make them continuous like that. Like that's a fucking, cause you're right. You lose out on a ton of the fucking story. Like, I had no idea that guy was the boss of the first game.
Good fan service, I guess, if nothing else.
Oh, phenomenal. Yeah. I get why it's got the following that it does. I fucking hate that guy. I can't beat him. I've probably died at him 40 times. So like I got to go out and grind, I guess, but I don't have the patience to grind anymore. One of the cool things about playing it on the Sega Genesis Classic Collection is you have fast forward, buddy. They should never make a JRPG in this style without fast forward again.
Yeah, like, and that's why you can't go back and play it as is anymore nowadays. It'd take forever.
Oh, buddy, yes. Like, it's fucking, I'm a loyal retro gamer, right? But I'm soft now. I'm like, I want save states and I want fast forward. I want my fucking... My ROMs, that's how I want to. I don't want to play it on the fucking. Sure, playing on the classic system is fine, but I don't have 80 hours to grind through this goddamn game.
And like, it doesn't get easier either. Like, because I think before where you got stuck, you fought Dark Force, right?
Yeah, I think so.
You fight him two more times after where you're stuck, and then you fight the ultimate final boss, who goes through three stages of pretty much that. And
oh fuck me,
honestly, it almost comes down to just pure luck because you only get so much MP and stuff to work with.
Yeah. It's, well, okay. It's hard. Okay, good. I'm glad that you, like, have you finished the game? You have. Okay, so, like, that you feel this way makes me feel better because, like, it is fucking hard. And some of the things I've read, because I've even gone online and looked up some strategy and stuff, right? And one of the big things is people really push home that they expect, the game developers expect you to use your buffs. Stuff like upping your strength and upping your defense.
Yeah, buffs and macros are the two.
Right, and I never use those. And other, like, when you play like a Final Fantasy game, do you ever raise your party's defense? Other sides
not
of like,
really.
Right?
You don't need to.
No, outside of maybe casting like haste or slow or like reflect or wall or whatever, I don't worry about like upping my offense or upping my, like Earthbound, I never up my offense or anything like that. And so I really struggled with getting into the mindset of like, oh yeah, I gotta fucking raise my offense.
Like I'd start every battle just with barrier. Just so I could have a few turns without healing.
Right. And I it took me forever to learn to do that. And it was reading the strategies to do it. Okay, now this is going to come up multiple times in this podcast. And if it bothers you, I'm fucking sorry. But my biggest problem with this game, I've ranted about on social media while I was playing it. You and I have talked about this. I fucking ranted. Why in the holy fuck is there no way to look up what spells and techniques and stuff do?
Well, you Nintendo kids.
No.
Final Fantasy holds your fucking hands.
Motherfucker,
and then
Chris. That Sega Genesis controller, I could see it from fucking here. There's three buttons on it. You don't need three buttons to play an RPG. If A selects and B backs out, C should just be able to push it. And it says, oh, this spell increases your health. This spell casts fire. Instead of counting on the fucking buffs to get through the game and then not telling me what any of the buffs do.
Why didn't they just call it Fire 3? I don't get it.
And it's fucking, hey, guess what, Sega kids? It's spelled F-A-N-T-A-S-Y. You fucking losers. It's not Fat Fantasy. Like, you're fucking cool. God, I could not get a hand on it. Because every time I got into a fight where it was like, okay, my basic strategy of just attack, 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 and heal doesn't work. I got to figure out how to raise something, like raise my defense or fucking something. And then I'd have to fucking bring up the guide and look up, like, what is this spell? And what does this spell do? What is this? Right? Like, you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah.
How in the fuck? Like, even in the menus. Like, when I click a spell, it doesn't tell me what the fuck the spell does.
Most of the spells make no sense.
No, none
and
of
the
them.
The funniest part of all is that you read the menu back in the day, or the manual back in the day, and even the manual's description of half the spells didn't make much sense.
No, it didn't. And I both love and despise this aspect of this game. There's, like, humans, and there's, like, androids?
Yeah.
And the androids heal completely different from the humans, which I thought was... once I figured that out, because I don't really explain that very well.
Not really, no.
Once you figured it out, I was like, that's a fucking great touch. Like, I thoroughly thought that
was
awesome.
It was
a cool
battle mechanic, too, because, like, if your enemies were machines, you had certain attacks that would destroy them, or, like, bio attacks on biological monsters.
Yeah, yeah. Like in some... in a lot of RPGs, there's, like, dead characters where, like, casting Cure on them will hurt them and stuff like that. You know what I mean? I thought that this was an infinitely cooler version of that. And the way that when you just walk around on the overworld, your android, if I'm not mistaken, your android characters heal themselves.
I think so.
Like, their health slowly comes back or something. And they've got, like, their own moves where, like, they can heal themselves, but they don't work on anybody else, and heal spells don't work on them, and that. I thought that was great. The only issue with it, again, was that I didn't know what fucking spells would heal them, and what's, like, oh, this spell will heal androids, but it won't heal humans. And it was like, well, which one's a fucking android and which one's a human? And just, tell me! Fuck! It just made me so...
Yeah, it was a trial and error thing for me, a lot of it. Like, and honestly, it came down to just using the same 10, which is probably why the game was so hard too. I think if you knew what everything did.
Sure. And the thing is, like, I cannot imagine trying to get through it without the internet and being able to look up what the spells do and stuff. Because did the instruction book explain what every spell did, kind of? I don't have the instruction book.
It was such
book,
a poor translation too, that it was just, it was almost like a backstory to the spell. I'm like, okay, what does it do?
Oh, okay.
Kind of thing, but...
I had, like, a sheet of paper that I literally would write down every spell as my guys, or skill, or whatever you want to fucking call them, techniques, whatever, as my guys would learn them, and then I'd write down what they do. But then, still, like, when I get in a fight, I'm like, okay, I'm getting my ass kicked. So then I go to the list and be like, okay, what abilities does Chaz have? Okay, what do these abilities do? And it was like, okay. And I didn't catch on to the, what's it called when you can set your things, macros?
Yeah, the macros.
I didn't catch on to that for quite a while, because I thought it was just a time saver.
It kind of is, and then it's kind of once you discovered which two characters' spells work together for, like, a huge maneuver, kind of, that's what they were mostly used for. But, like, I would always set them up, like, okay, put barrier up, heal someone, and then attack.
Right. Now,
that was
like,
kind of my...
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
For more than anything.
But like, because it never explained, like, it never told you who had combos with each other, right?
No.
Like, you had to figure those all out.
Oh, yeah. Like, you'd be in the middle of a fight and all of a sudden it would just be like, boom, for like 1,000 points damage. And
okay.
Be like, wow, what the heck? But then you had to figure out what order and what spells you used to.
Yeah. And now, because like, when I heard that, I was like, okay, well, that's a fucking cool idea. In all the time I played it, I never found a combo. Like, not one ever activated.
Well, there's not anywhere in that game where it either, like, brings it up as a tutorial or anything.
Yeah.
It's just you're expected to,
I guess. Right. And that's a great idea. And I like the idea of the surprise popping up. But, like, you'd think maybe, like, give me a couple or something. Because, like, I really got the impression at some of the parts where I was getting stuck that, like, you need these to get through this. Right? Like, it's like you're basically crippling yourself not using them because they're the most powerful attack you have. And I can't find them.
Yeah, if you went back and fought where you're stuck with some of them, I think you'd get through it there, because once you start dealing out 1,000 damage...
Yeah, fuck like, yeah.
You'll start chipping bosses down fast.
Yeah. Like, I'm tempted to go... Like, I fired my file up today when I knew you were coming over, because you would ask me where I gave up, and I couldn't remember, so I had to look it up. And, you know, like, you can see the date last saved. It was October. And, like, we've all... Dude, if you're listening to this podcast... You have done it. At some point, you've walked away from an RPG and then came back after a couple months and been like, what the fuck is that? Like, where? You know what I mean? Like, where am I and what am I doing? I'm tempted to look up some of those macros because maybe that would make a big difference. But you were the one that explained the macros to me, and I never really understood. Like, you can change, like, you can guarantee the order that your team attacks in and change the order that your team attacks. Like, so say that, like, I don't know, who's a fucking Han? Does Han have barriers?
I don't think so. I think it was the androids that mostly set them up.
So, yeah. Like, but you've got a character that's really, like, that you want to make sure the first thing they do is cast a barrier on your team. But if you just go through and pick it, like, when you set all five options, he might not be the third or fourth person that attacks, and the bad guy attacks in between, and then the barrier didn't do any good. Whereas if you use the macro, you can set it to where he goes first and he casts barrier, right?
Yeah.
That, once you explained that concept to me, I was like, oh... What a great idea that is. Like, that's something more RPGs should have.
Yeah, it's I've never really seen it in anything else.
No.
I guess RPGs are different now, too.
Well, yeah, but I mean, they're still making, like, JRPG. Like, you're playing Dragon Quest XI right now, right?
Yeah.
And, like, I played the fuck out of Octopath Traveler. And, like, dude, there's times where it would have been so fat if I could set the order that my four guys or my five guys would attack in and make sure that the first person to go this turn is my healer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Just to set a macro where the first person or two to attack are your healers and your barrier casters. Like, I'll worry about attacking afterwards. Keep everybody alive first, then we'll attack.
Yeah.
That's a really cool idea. Like, it's a much deeper RPG than it seems off the top.
Till the villain just attacks you off the hop and you're dead anyway. But
fuck, like that fucking guy is doing to me in two turns. Like, my whole team is dead. I'm like, what the fuck am I supposed to do here? So I love the concept of the macro thing. I really sincerely like the idea of the androids and the not androids.
The whole game's a cool mix of tech and kind of non-tech, I guess.
It really is, they do a great job of, like, at times it feels
sort of shield and tech, I guess that's what I was trying to say.
Yeah, like at times you're in these, like, because, like, what's the whole concept of the story, at least to start, is that the planet is dying or something because he's like,
yeah, these things, it's on its last legs
and... right. And so you go to these, like, old villages, and they seem like Final Fantasy, like any other classic JRPG village where it's, like, all dirt and sand, and they live in these shitty huts, and, you know, and you're like, wow, what a terrible life. You just walk in the same 8 squares all around every day for the rest of your life. But then you end up like, dude, I went into space, and I have ships, and I can fly from planet to planet into space and invade these, like, future robotic fucking layers and stuff. And I was like, this is actually pretty cool.
Yeah. And I guess that's a throwback to the second game, too, where, like, it was pretty futuristic, like, technology ruled everything, and then it all got destroyed, so now they're kind of living in a tech-less world, I guess you'd say. And
right. Yeah, I liked that, and I think they do a really cool, like, the translation is kind of broken, and some of the dialogue seems very stiff and kind of cheesy, you know what I mean?
Oh,
but,
yeah.
But I like that. It's the same as Resident Evil. When you play the original Resident Evil games now, like, it's so hokey, like, the way the characters, like, talk, and it just sounds like... they're reading a script with no emotion or anything, and that's how the dialogue reads when you read it. But I like it. Like, I kind of either lean into it and make it super emotional and stressful, or just go hokey to the fucking max.
It kind of seems like Japanese humor in a few spots too. Like,
yeah,
the one spot, the guy you talk to, he's like, he's asking if you want to hear all this stuff, and then he asks if you want to hear Alice's measurements or something like that.
Yeah, yeah,
at least, I guess. But
yeah, that's right. Yeah,
it's, dude, that kind of goofball-y
there's a few moments like that where I was like, "Oh, you couldn't get away with that." In a fucking like, it was like, "That's a little sexist," but okay. I do like some of the characters. I like Chaz is kind of a wiener, but he's okay. Like
by the end of the game, he's actually pretty awesome because as you keep going on, eventually he kind of starts to get a little jaded with everything that's going on, and he's ready to call it quits. And he has a callback. He ends up having a callback to pretty much the hero from the first game who kind of hands down the sword to him.
Oh, okay.
Like, he does get a lot more deeper as time goes on.
Like classic RPG, where, like, the main character starts out overwhelmed and then becomes, like, the hero he's destined to be or whatever.
And then when Elise died.
Yeah.
Which was done before Final Fantasy made it cool, by the way.
No, you're right. Yeah, fuck yeah. I thought that, too, when she died. I was like, oh, I was like, that's a little Final Fantasy 7-y, except this game's obviously before Final Fantasy 7.
Yeah, no, that was kind of a shock when that happened, but
I liked that. I liked that a lot, actually. Most of the characters, like, to be fair, like, I just have the characters list right in front of me here. I didn't realize I'd had them all, so that's pretty cool. Chaz is okay. He's the main character, right? Elise, I really like it when RPGs give you a really strong female, like, tank. You know what I mean? Like, not just a female that's great with magic, that hides in the back and heals or has a bow or fucking whatever. But when your female just goes up and fucks people up, and Elise does that. Until you lose her, you're so dependent on her.
They could have killed Chaz off and kept her.
I would have been totally fine with that, yeah. Han is a wiener. He sucks. I like Rune, and I know it was really hokey, but I love the way Rune would break Chaz's balls and Chaz would get angry. And like, it was really cheesy the way that Chaz would be like, "Hey, do not say that to me. I am not a kid." You know what I mean? And I was, and you just hear Rune like, "Ah." But I like that. And Rune becomes like, once he actually joins your team, God, you fucking need him. Like, he's a fucking badass. And then Grizz joins you and he's that weird looking blue headed bird thing. I really enjoy him because he's just a tank. Like,
he's the muscle.
Yeah. You need muscle. Yeah, yeah. And then honestly, my favorite character in the game was, how do you say it? Rika?
Rika.
And she's the one that can like dual attack.
Yeah.
With the two slashes,
the
right?
Claws, yeah.
Oh, once she joined my, she was like, if I had to keep one person alive, it was Rika. I just loved her. I thought the skills that I fucking knew what they did were sweet. And that dual attack came in so handy when you're trying to wipe a character out. Like even just in regular fights.
Like, she was such a neat character, too, because like, you kind of get her from that lab where she was engineered, more or less. And then she starts out at level 1 when you get her out of there, so...
Yeah.
She's had, like, no experience in the outside world, and...
That's right, yeah, you're right, yeah, I remember that.
It's a neat story with her.
Okay. Yeah, and she joins your team, and yeah, she kind of sucks at first because she's so underleveled and new, but then she levels up really quick.
Yeah.
And then suddenly you realize, like, oh, yeah. Like, I remember, like, for a long point of the game, it was Rika and Grizz were my two, like... anchors, like on either end, that would just fuck people up because they were the two powerhouses, right? And then there's a couple other characters, but the other character that stands out to me that I really enjoyed was the fucking old green faced
Raja,
because he's because you can tell that he's like the clown, but a lot of them fucking hate him. And I thought like every RPG ever should have a funny guy on the team.
No, he's probably he's kind of the comic relief, I guess, of the whole
team. He is, yeah. And I thought that was a cool touch that instead of making the comic relief like a young, like cool character, you made it the like old elder. Like, because usually that old elder is like Tella or somebody who there's just like, they'll just guide you through and they're cranky and old. But he's like this super powerful because he's got like magic and stuff, right? I think he had that.
He was more or less, he was kind of half healer, half.
Yeah. And he was pretty handy.
Yeah.
But he was just this fucking like old fart that made stupid jokes all the time.
Yeah, that's what it was. It was lame jokes from him.
Yeah. And everybody hated them. And I thought they were fucking, except Rika. Rika loved them. And that's why I liked them so much. So if you're hearing this, you're probably a gamer. And for our kind, nothing is as precious and valuable as our save files. Have you ever experienced the loss of a save file? It's soul crushing. Dozens, maybe hundreds of hours of work gone like that. But at the end of the day, it's a video game. It matters, but kinda, you know? That exact scenario, but with a work project, an essay for school, data for your business, that's no joke. That can be really serious. You need a safety net. And I got you, fam, with my partners over at CrashPlan. Visit CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. CrashPlan has been protecting people's data since 2001. And a couple years ago, they set out on their own with one mission, to provide the best damn cloud backup solution on the market. CrashPlan runs quietly in the background of your computer or Mac, and every 15 minutes on the clock, they create a new backup of every file that's changed in that time. So if something goes wrong, God forbid, you don't lose hours, lose days, lose weeks of work. Just log into your account and you can download your most recent backup from the secure cloud servers. And there's not just one backup. There's a laundry list of them. You can pick and choose which one you want. It's like the ultimate undo button. If you work on a computer in any capacity, CrashPlan is a must-have. And if you're thinking, ah, that's for big businesses, I'm just Joe Schmo. CrashPlan protects Joe Schmo. They offer a ton of plans and tiers. So there's a CrashPlan for everyone from small one-person businesses like me to you fancy businesses and offices with staff and free donuts and all that stuff. Time is money. Why wouldn't you protect your work? Spreadsheets, diagrams, videos, art, podcasts. CrashPlan has you covered. Don't let data disasters slow you down. CrashPlan has your back and keeps you moving. Go to CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. That's CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year. Back up better with CrashPlan.
Yeah, I like that. I think it's a very diverse cast of characters. The reason they all joined the team makes sense. Classic RPG 101 where the universe is going to die unless they all stop it, right?
Well, and the cool thing is that, did you get to where you get Kira then?
I think
she,
so.
Yeah, because she was another character. She was pretty forgettable. But then as you go on, you get a character named Seth.
Okay, now I know I never got Seth, yeah.
He joins your party for a small part of it, but it turns out once you get what you're getting, when he joins, he actually turns into a Dark Force.
Oh, okay.
That, like a boss you have to fight. And that was kind of neat.
Oh, that is
you're
neat.
You're controlling him up till then, and all of a sudden he just mutates. You have to fight him and kill him. And
oh, I like that. So I like that.
Kind of a plot twist, I guess.
If you, because you called them out for once already, if Final Fantasy VII stole the kill the female member on your team, make everybody sad gimmick, then why didn't they steal that with Kate Sith and make him turn into a bad guy so you don't have to fucking waddle him around for the whole game? I love it when bad guys join your team. And I guess in this case, it wasn't quite like Magus from Chrono Trigger, where he was a bad guy who joined your team. He was a good guy who was actually a bad guy. But yeah, that's a great touch. Like, it tells a great story. It really does.
Yeah, like, that was kind of the cool thing about the whole the Phantasy Star series was that it built a pretty cool universe by the end. Like, you're invested in it if you played all the games and stuff like that. And, like, the story kept me going. I mean, it was fun to the end.
Yeah, like, one of the things people say about the podcast when they listen is that the way that the people that are on the show get so passionate about these games makes them want to play. And like, I was done with this fucking game, like fucking done. And you and I have been talking for 25 minutes and 48 seconds. And now I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go back and finish this fucking, I was trying to avoid looking up macros and combos and shit. And I'm like, I have no choice. I need to fucking look some of them up. Like, did you discover them on your own? These combos?
Like three of them, maybe.
How?
The three I needed, I guess. Like, it was just a random, like,
just fluke.
You pick two moves and they cross. So, like, oh, okay, I got to remember that.
Oh, Jesus, man.
So I was looking them up actually today, and I think there's about 12 of them all together or something like that.
Yeah, 12 and, yeah, or 14
like,
or something.
I came across three.
Like, fuck me.
By
like,
random.
And I didn't realize they did as much damage you're saying they do. I'm like, fuck yeah, that's probably why I can't win, because I can't do these fucking super powerful moves. Because I was like, I know I'm not great at RPGs. I was like, but I'm good enough to fucking beat this. Why can't I fucking beat this? A couple of the other little criticisms. And like, I don't even like throwing shade at games for this, because this is what games were like back in the day, and they're not like this anymore. The being able to buy like one item at a time is a fucking pain in the ass. Like, you know, doing the like armor or like upping your team's weapons and stuff like that. I found just, and again, less. It's a criticism, but I don't think it's a fair criticism to compare it to today's games.
It's another grind, really. You got to grind to get gold to get weapons.
Yeah, it is.
Grind to get. I guess they go hand in hand.
It had aspects of like the original Dragon Warriors to it, where you get into a town and you see all the new equipment and you can't afford all of it. And so you've got to go out and fucking grind to come up with enough money. Oh, dude, there was a point right before where I stopped where you're at like a palace or a fucking mansion or something. And I could not figure out where to fucking go in this giant palace. And I probably leveled up for 2 hours just walking around this fucking palace trying to figure out where to go. But at the same time, it's like that was some of the charm of those old JRPGs, was the grinding and the leveling up, right?
Well, you only had one game a year or two, so either you found a way to get through or you were bored, I think.
That's
so
true.
Like, that's why I think I finished this ever, because
Yeah.
I wait to Christmas or birthday, so.
Yeah, dude, that's a solid point. There's quite a few games from my childhood that, like, I wouldn't finish today if I tried it for the first time. But back then, it was like, I've got nothing else to play, so I might as well fucking level up and try to get through. Because the simple fact of the matter is any JRPG is beatable if you're willing to put enough time into grind, right? Like, any of them. Like, I have to assume this game is probably, like, most where it's got a level cap at, like, 99 or something. But if you grinded all your guys up to 99, you'd probably go through on God mode and just fucking own it. It's just that it's going to take you 60 hours to fucking get to level 99 of everybody, right? And then I'll ask you, like, this one, because I quit before the end, does this one ever do the thing where you can, like, pick your team?
Because you pretty much roll with Chaz, Rune, Ren the Android, and Rika.
Mm-hmm.
And when you go to fight the final boss, you get to, all your old characters come back, and you have to pick one of them to go with you.
Oh, really?
And it's kind of, it's almost an unofficial difficulty mode. Like, I always took Raja because it was easy, because he could heal and...
Right, and he's fucking hilarious.
Thing. Yeah. and then from there, like, I mean, Grizz was kind of a little bit harder.
Okay.
And if you hated your life, you took Han...
Ugh, the fucking
throw his dagger at the bad guy.
Dud. I can help. No, you can't.
It's so funny with Han too, because he's a wiener. Even when he leaves your party, he's like, oh, I'm gonna go back to the university and see if I can find a solution to this. And you go see him. Yeah. Oh, I don't know what to do.
Oh, that's what it was. He was like scared the whole time. I fucking hated him. Every time he died, I was like, fucking stay dead. You fucking Milhouse. Can you pick Elise at
no.
the end?
No, she's gone.
She's dead. Yeah. What about the Seth, the bad guy?
No.
Okay, so it's the other ones that don't die or
no,
turn
Seth
bad.
No, Seth was kind of just a plot device.
Oh, okay. That's such a cool plot device, though. That's fantastic. Why don't more RPGs do that? That'd be such a cool twist. If you were playing the game and halfway through the game, the guy in your team turned out to be a bad guy and turned on you, that'd be awesome. I didn't know that. So you get to the end and you've got four characters and then you can pick a fifth one to go in. But that's the only time you can, like, it's not
otherwise,
like one of those...
No, they're kind of just doing their own thing when they leave your party. And...
Now, I'll ask, I'm just curious of your opinion. What do you prefer? Do you prefer that the game sets your team at all times, or do you prefer being able to pick whoever you want to take out with you?
For a story game like this, I prefer it.
You prefer?
I get to just keep it static and not swap out. Like, it worked for Final Fantasy VI, but for this, I don't think you could do it because it's so story-driven, I guess. Like, it's all really specific. It sets up for characters to come and go, I guess.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, Final Fantasy VI is such a unique thing that it works that way. Because I agree with you. Like, I think part of it's because my first RPG was Final Fantasy IV. Yeah. But be it 4 or this or well, I guess Earthbound, other than Pooh, people don't really leave your team that much. I prefer just going through the game and being told, like, hey, this is your team. This is your team now. This is your team. I hate trying to pick because I always feel like I'm leaving somebody out where I would have seen a cool cutscene or I didn't level somebody up or... Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like,
plus with Final Fantasy VI, you started to get some characters I just really didn't care about and didn't use.
So. Yeah. Looking at you, Abominable Snowman thing. You fucking loser. Listen, I was afraid, like, this has been one of those games, man, ever since I started asking people for Sega Genesis suggestions. You suggested this to me 100 times. There's two games that you have been up my ass to fucking play and talk about. And one was this, and one was that Suikoden
2, one you will like.
Oh, I'm sure I will. I like this one. I just got stuck. There's fucking, like, give me a goddamn 5-hour platformer instead of a fucking 80-hour RPG.
Super Tennis, man.
Yeah, Super Tennis, yeah. Oh, I'm going to fucking roast that game on here. I'll do it someday just to fucking shit on it on here. It's a good game. I get why, if you were a Sega kid who grew up with these games, I understand why you like it. I don't think it's as good as Final Fantasy from that era. But I was impressed. I loved the story. I like the backdrop where you go from fucking, like you said, from medieval times up to space. Oh yeah, and you get to drive ships.
Yeah, you get a Land Rover. You get a, I think you get something when you go to the ice planet.
Yeah,
too,
you do. Yeah, there's a couple, and I actually thought that was a really cool touch. And
you
could
fight
go
in them too.
You could go fight in them. Yeah, I was like, I mean, it, like, there's not a ton of depth to it, but I liked the concept because at least it was easier to explore an overworld and not worry about your guys fucking dying on you because
you get from A to B and still fight and still level up a bit, but not to slog it out every
time. I thought that was cool. I like the different settings. I got a kick out of most of the characters. I adore the android versus human thing. I like being able to set macros. I just, at the end of the day, and maybe it's just me, you've been beaking me about it, so maybe it is just me, I just found it a little bit, for lack of a better term, confusing at times. I was like, what the fuck do these moves do? Like,
it is. I mean, it's who the hell knows what Sanerm means?
Like, right,
I mean,
right.
It's nothing. Like, and looking it up, it's still nothing.
Right. But. And you do get to know what, like, I don't remember the name of, like, the heal spells. Is that the Sanerm?
Like, is it Rez?
Rez, that's what it is. Like, some of the basic ones, you get to know what they do because you need them all the time, right? Like, I get out of fights, and then, like, Rika, I think it was Rika, had Rez, and I would never make her use it in a battle, but she was, like, my healer on the overworld because I was like, well, let's just use up some of her points. And because I loved her double slash so much that normally that's what I would do with it. So I learned what some of the spells did, but not all of them. I didn't understand the combos, but there's a lot of good stuff here. Like, it's, it's fucking fair. I'm so not anti-Sega like I was when I started this show. Like, I feel like I've had like an awakening and I'm like, you guys are fine. We're friends now. It's 2020. We can be on the same team.
There
now.
You go.
Why can't you Xbox and PlayStation kids fucking play nice with each other? You got any, is there anything we've forgotten before we score this thing?
The side quests, the bounties.
Oh yeah.
That was really cool. I like doing those.
Okay. Please. I never did any of them. I never did any of them. I found one cause there was like a
you
school.
Go to the bounty office,
you go to the school, right? And I never did anything with it. So like, do you get like just experience or
you get experience? You get some side plot to the main story. The androids get some weapons out of them. You gotta go to like certain power plants and stuff like that.
But they're completely optional.
Yeah.
Okay. That's, dude, fuck. I forgot all about that. And like, and that's something, if we're sitting here comparing it to Final Fantasy, there's not a lot of that shit in Final Fantasy.
And they were pretty good quality. Like, it wasn't just like nowadays where it's like, go fetch 5 rat tails to get 20 experience points. Like, you actually had to go, I think one of them was right before you fought Zio, you had to go to like a plate tectonic thing or something like that because there's too many earthquakes. And
right.
You go clean it out and the town loves you for it.
Yeah, yeah. I like.
Find one of Demi's power-ups, I think, or something like that, and they install it on her, and it makes the fight against Zio easier.
Yeah, that's a fucking... I forgot all about that. That's a really cool concept. Although I will say, that's another problem I kind of had with the game, and maybe this is just, like, my ADD, but it would, like, tell me to go back to, like, a certain town or go to somewhere, but they're all into these weird names, and there's no map.
Yeah.
There was no way...
Yeah, no world map, was there?
I know, and I was like, so what fucking... Where am I supposed to go? Like, I can't remember the name of, like, what town and where it was or anything.
Well, that's the first time I've ever thought of that. There was no world map.
Which
you
is odd.
Just wandered around.
Yeah, and I get that, like, it's different planets and stuff like that, but, like, it wouldn't have been hard to, like, hit pause and then look at, like, a map or, like, some... You know what I mean? Or, like, you're in a ship or fucking something. So there were a couple of times where I just got lost and I could not remember where the fuck I was supposed to go, particularly before you can teleport.
Because
you can eventually teleport, right? But I don't think you could do it right off the bat. And I found that frustrating. But I forgot all about the side missions. What a great thing. And that's something that not a lot of games did. And they did it in a good way. Fuck yeah, man. All right, Phantasy Star, I'm sorry. I was ready to fucking roast you. And I was like, no, you know what? Why does this always happen? I'm like, it was like Mario 64 when we came in here. And I was like, I'm going to fucking smash that kid. And then by the end of the game, I'm like, all right, that's actually not bad. I'm not angry anymore. Anything else? Can you think of anything else before we score this thing?
It was just, it's a Sega game. It had some Sega fan service in it. I remember in the Saturn days, everyone was always hoping for a Phantasy Star 5. It never came.
Yeah, who owns this? Is this a Sega?
It's a Sega, yeah. Because then they went online.
Oh, yeah, there's Phantasy Star Online.
It.
Yeah.
Which, like, people loved, too, but it wasn't, like, it was a, I guess it was an MMO that people fell in love with, but.
Well, okay.
As a Phantasy Star RPG guy, I just wanted 5.
I'm going to look right now. Yeah. Has there ever been talk of a Phantasy Star 5?
They rumbled about it, but I think like 4 kind of closes the whole saga off. Like, cause in the end you pretty much beat the ultimate evil.
Right.
The Found Darkness it's called. And then like, and then that's it. You've killed evil. So
well,
there's nothing left, but I mean,
yeah,
it
but I mean,
come
on,
see something else.
It's,
come up.
You could always, it's if you, particularly in Phantasy Star, like if your whole fucking setting is in outer space and everything,
you'll find something to kill.
You could find something. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, what the fuck, Sega? You got nothing else to do. You're making shitty Sonic games. Fucking make another RPG. Sorry, Sonic fans. Make another RPG, yeah. All right, dude. Well, we're going to score this thing. I need something to fucking... I need a scale to score this thing on. I don't want to score it out of 4. That's fucking lame. All right, I guess that's... I don't know. I don't care.
Out of 50 confusing spells, how many would you
give? There you go. Fucking rights. Yeah. out of 50 confusing spells, I give it Rez. Rez out of 50. And nobody knows what the fuck that score is because it's just like their fucking spells. Chris, that's why I brought you on the fucking show. What would you score this thing out of 50?
Guy Rez, because I liked it.
Oh, Guy Rez. Which, if you don't know, is either more powerful Rez or least powerful Rez. You don't fucking know because the game doesn't fucking tell you until you use it. And then you use it to find out, and then it doesn't do anything, and then you die before you get another chance to cast a fucking spell. Thanks, Fantasy Star. Learn this fucking... That's probably why the fucking spell names and shit don't make any sense, because they can't even spell the word fantasy. They can't spell the word fantasy. There's no way they can spell cure. I bet you that's what SAR is supposed to be. And SAR is a fucking disease. SAR was killing people. But no, in this... Oh, no, wait. That's Rez.
See you playing this Nintendo game. Guy Rez, I got to use that on the guy characters.
Yeah, that's it. I'm like, fuck. When am I going to get She Rez so I can fix Rika? She's dying. Fucking game, man. You know what? In all seriousness, though, like out of 50, like I'd give it about a 35 out of 50, somewhere in there. Like, what would you go higher? It's fine.
I'll do 40 then and now.
I do think having the nostalgia for it would make it more enjoyable.
That's the only thing you could use it to play it nowadays. Like, it's short of remastering it to make it easier. It's just, it's too time consuming.
It is.
Good story aside, but you can read a good story online or see a video of it.
Yeah, absolutely. Although I will say, and I believe it's on the Sega Mini. I'm pointing at my Sega Mini, but you guys can't see what I'm pointing. But I haven't played it on there. I've been playing it on the Sega Classic Collection on my Switch. If you want to try it, that's a great way to get it, because for like $40, you're getting a ton of great Sega games. You've got save states and you've got fast forward, which is just a godsend. In a fucking battle or walking around a map or any, it's just like, I don't ever want to play a JRPG without fast forward again. It's just like, even some of the ones I love, like Earthbound and stuff, being able to walk faster and speed up those fucking monotonous random encounters when you're fighting the same bad guy for like a thousandth time is a godsend. So, it's a good game. And I'm glad that, you've made me appreciate it more, which is what I was hoping you would do. Cause you were like, I'm so excited to come over to talk Fantasy Star. And I was like, oh man, Chris and I are going to literally get in a fist fight on the podcast. Cause I'm going to shit all over his childhood fucking memories. Good stuff, man. Thank you for doing this. Thank you for suggesting it.
Yeah, man. Always.
And, sorry. What's your favorite character? I meant to ask you that.
I liked Grizz.
Okay.
I liked him. He was just doing it for his little sister.
Yeah. Grizz reminded me of you. Like, just a big, gentle giant. Like, I don't know. You've got aspects of Han. We all have aspects of... All of us are fucking deadweight losers sometimes. Like, fucking Han Male, a young scientist. Go fuck yourself. Good stuff, buddy. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks, man.
That's going to do it for this week's episode. Chris, thank you for coming over and talking Fantasy Star IV with me. And every single one of you guys and girls and dogs and cats and kids and spouses stuck in the car having to listen to a podcast you don't want to listen to, or for whatever reason, my voice is going into your ears. Thank you so much for checking out our show. We really appreciate it. Normally, I would plug the Patreon here, but I don't have one to plug. Sending questions and topics and stuff, you guys, I will answer every single one on Sunday on Expansion Pass. And I don't know, leave us a good review if you want to and all that good stuff. Just play video games, stay safe, wash your hands, don't be a jerk. And I'll talk to you guys again on Sunday. That's good enough. Thanks, guys. Take it easy. Cheers.